church. It's good to see you again, no? I know grabe kayo ang panghitabo sa atong kalibutan. And I just want to add to what Pastor TG shared to us that in the past few days, we have received much news about a war and that the invasion has begun. Russian missiles destroying Ukrainian air bases. Bombs and blasts heard throughout the country. Air raid sirens ringing. Martial law declared. Villages seized. The Ukrainian people, families, fearing for their lives. And as of the president of Russia, wages war on Ukraine, he's also issued this warning to the West. And this is what he said. A couple of words for those who would be tempted to intervene. Russia will respond immediately, and you will have consequences that you never have had before in your history. So that's scary, guys. Knowing the truth, what he said. So, let's continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and of Russia for this to not escalate into World War III. And I believe this war will end as the Lord intervene. Amen? This is just one of the sad realities in our world today. And let me be honest with you that we do not live in a perfect world with perfect people. Rather, we live in wilderness where there's scarcity, pride, evil, and danger. Because we live in a sinful and imperfect world with sinful and imperfect people. That's why the Bible is very clear in presenting to us what kind of people we are. That we are sinners. As what Romans 3:23 says. And that's the reason why people are easily tempted to sin, because we are sinners. And actually, whatever is happening in our world today are just repeated events from history. If you just read the Bible, it's just a repeated events. As the Bible declares that there's nothing new under the sun. God is never surprised or get caught off guard with the existing events and the coming situation of our world. This is why the reason God sent His Son to redeem humanity. And this is why it is right for us to trust and turn to Jesus. So today, we're going to study Psalm 63, and I hope it would give us hope and it would also comfort us. And that here in Psalm 63, the superscription tells us about the context and the author that it is referred to David himself. And probably, he wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness of Judah. A wilderness, by the way, is the most unlikely and unpleasant place to live. And there were events that are recorded in the Bible where David went or fled in the wilderness. First, and that is when he was a boy, tending their flocks in the field. And second, when he spent time in the Judean desert during his flight from Saul. And third, when he fled from his son Absalom. And so, when David was writing this psalm, he had fled to the wilderness out of the rebellion of his son Absalom, who wants to replace him from his throne. And think of David sitting on his throne. Everything is pleasant in his eyes. The palace, the food, the riches, the people, and most importantly, the temple, where David can easily access to God in the sanctuary to worship and offer sacrifices to God. And imagine, all of those were gone when Absalom took his throne. And we might think that he is pitiful because of his situations, that the material things and everything he had were gone. That's why he fled and seeks refuge in the wilderness. But actually, in this psalm, we will see that David can bear to lose his throne and all the material things, but not the very presence of God. And not being able to access the sanctuary in Jerusalem to worship God was his great trouble. So in this psalm, we will also discover how David found serenity in the wilderness. How David found serenity in the wilderness. And how he was able to respond in such glorious and compelling desires. And here we will learn that David, even though he was surrounded by wilderness, in his heart, there was no wilderness. And many of us today are experiencing wilderness in life. We are experiencing spiritual, financial, physical, relational, or emotional drought. Most of us might not know where to find refuge and how to find serenity amidst of all the struggles and trials in life. And some of us also are tempted to give up already because of the present situations. And maybe some of us are responding in a sinful way by forsaking God instead of seeking Him. So like David, how can we find serenity in the wilderness? How can we be filled spiritually during the drought seasons of our lives? So let's open our Bible in Psalm 63. And may I ask everyone to please stand as we read God's Word. Psalm 63. Beginning in verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth, and they shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for giving us this privilege to freely worship you, God, and to have fellowship with our fellow brethren, O Lord. With such many problems happening in our world today, Lord God, our hearts are troubled. But as what you promise in your word, Lord God, to give us peace which surpasses understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so let it be, O God, knowing that you are the ones who holds our life. And you are the ones who is in control of everything, Lord. So today, Lord, help us to trust in you and not be disturbed by such many troubles happening in our world today. And let us focus our mind and our heart as we meditate upon your word. And Lord, cover your servant with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let your glory and honor be praised as we spend our time together in studying your word, Lord God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may now sit. David's statement in the first stanza of verse 1 declares his faith in the Lord. When he says, O God, you are my God. David declared. And so by declaring, O God, David wasn't referring to any false God, but he was referring to the triune God who created the universe, who is the majestic and powerful God. And by this, David also declared that the Almighty God, he's declaring about the Almighty God. And this statement shows David's knowledge about God. It was God's divine attribute of power on which David's mind mainly rested when he spoke about him as God. And so let us not forget, church, that God whom the God whom David is declaring is the same God whom we are worshiping now, who is the Almighty God, the majestic God, and the most powerful God. And by the way, David did not only declare the name of God, but he also declared as my God. He was declaring that the majestic and the almighty God is his own personal God. And this shows David's intimate relationship with God. In fact, many of us know that he is referred to as the man after God's own heart. He didn't just have head knowledge about God, because in order to be after God's own heart, you need to know God. You need to know Him by heart. And this is one of the main reasons why David had a great peace and confidence despite of the unpleasant circumstances in his life. Not only because of his head knowledge about the Elohim God, but through experiencing His presence in a very personal and intimate way, that he was able and confidently say, my God. And sometimes, God allows us to experience wilderness in life. This doesn't mean that God doesn't care about us. Rather, He wants us to taste what heaven is like. We just live in this temporal world. Heaven is our home. Amen? Where we will be wrapped by the overwhelming presence of God. Indeed, our deep communions with God happen during the dark days of our lives. And when the overwhelming presence of God is more than enough to get us through the dreading nights. Even though David was forced to abandon his throne, the intimacy that he was experiencing in the wilderness with God will never be compensated by any kind of earthly thrones. Because for David's desire is not the throne, but the very presence of God. And what he needs most is not the throne that the world offers for him, but the very presence of his God. So church, we must understand that in our daily walk with God, head knowledge is never be enough. And that's why we must desire and long for deep encounters with the very presence of the Holy Spirit. This means that in order for us to truly experience the serenity that David experienced in the wilderness, we must have a personal relationship with the living God. And that's why we are to know and accept the bad news that we are sinners because we have offended a holy God in which our sin separates us from God. Yet, God loves us so much that He is the one who reached out to us by sending the perfect Lamb, His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the one perfect sacrifice, He lived a perfect life. He never committed any sins, and he paid for all of our sins. And Jesus Christ sacrificed His very own self in order for us to be reconciled to God. He took all of our past, present, and future sins. He died in the most shameful and painful way. He shed His blood to wash us from sin. He was crucified. And after 3 days, He was bodily resurrected from the dead to demonstrate that all sin had been paid, that Satan had been defeated, and death had been conquered. Hallelujah. That is the good news. Jesus is the good news. Amen? Now, He offers to each of us salvation as a free gift, which you can receive by repenting from your sins and simply putting your full faith in Jesus and trusting Him alone for your salvation. And that when a person puts his or her trust in Christ alone, he or she is fully forgiven, is born into God's family, and becomes a child of God. As what John 1:12 says. And once a person is saved and born again, the eagerness to know more about God and to cultivate intimate relationship with Him will sprout and grow. And this is the evidence of his or her newfound life and relationship with God. Just like how the newborn baby cries and seeks for milk, the newly saved person has the compelling desire of wanting more of Him, more of Him, more of Him. And so, David also had these deep desires for God that led him to experience serenity in the wilderness. So first, because of that relationship with God, he has this deep longing for God. And second, he desires to be divinely satisfied by God. And lastly, he desires to be more dependent on God. So let's dig in one by one. Let's go first with deep longing for God. Church, our knowledge and relationship with God should compel us to seek more of God or to long for Him deeply. As what verses 1 to 4 says, and that gives us a clear picture of David's purpose in life. And this is what it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. By the way, David's language here used a hyperbole to describe his deep longing of the very presence of God in the sanctuary. Because he cannot go to the sanctuary anymore. Or he cannot go to the temple. And that's why in verse 1, David exclaimed with great longing for God's presence. When he says, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. By the way, the word earnestly is literally mean early. Such as early morning or early dawn. And that when David rises in the morning, he's aware of his need for God. So he earnestly seeks God just as he seeks water to drink. Not only does he seek God earnestly, yet he also seeks God desperately, like a man who is desperately seeking food to eat. Maybe you are already thinking about dinner na, no? Or meal. Lamian, ikaon, og pata, no? Lechon, pork ribs. No? Just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. Because I know that you are not alone. Daghan ta diri gutom. Pagsugot pa ginya, murag kakaon na ko. It is not also wrong to be spiritually hungry and thirsty. As one commentator said, when there is no hunger and thirst for the presence of God, it is an indicator that something is wrong spiritually. If there's no hunger and thirst, it is an indicator that something is wrong spiritually within you. In verse 2, David says, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Notice, David remembered his experience with God in the sanctuary while he was in the wilderness, where he had a spiritual vision that is generally referred to as a prophetic vision of God. And one commentator suggests that the glory and the power refer as either the ark, as the Jewish writers generally reinterpret it, and the symbol of God's presence and glory, and which is called his strength and his glory. And so, David here was longing to experience this again while he was in the wilderness, to be in the sanctuary of God and experience His power and glory, which is quite impossible to happen due to his situation and geographical situation that time. Because he is in the wilderness of Judah, a specific geographical location within the tribal territory of Judah. And that is quite far from the temple of Jerusalem. And you know, most of us can relate to David's longing because we somehow had experienced not being able to go to church during the lockdown, right? Mingaw kayo. Kanami tong ganahan kayo tamuanto sa church. But because lockdown, di ta pwede mo gawas, how we miss the church. And so, that's why now, praise be to God because we can now freely worship God and have fellowship together again. Nevertheless, David's longing also tells us of his hope and confidence in the Lord, that God will indeed bring him out from the wilderness in order to see God's glory and power again. David lost his throne, and with it are his riches and power. Yet we saw from verse 1 and 2 that he was not longing or seeking for those material things. Rather, he was desperately and earnestly seeking for spiritual things, which is God himself. He didn't remember the grandeur things that happened to him as a king. But here, he remembered his time in the sanctuary of God. That is beautiful. And in verse 3, he declared the reason of this longing. He said, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Imagine, David, even though he was in a miserable situation, yet he is still able to hope and worship God. How about you, church? When your life is in the midst of wilderness, amidst of critical and crucial situation of your financial, material, relational, and spiritual problem in life, would you still contemplate upon the power and glory of God? Are you still hoping and confident that this wilderness in life will come to pass? Or are you giving up and forsaking God? And so, my prayer is that despite your spiritual, financial, physical, relational, or emotional drought, you will still be able to put your trust and full confidence in the Lord. Whatever it takes, and you will desire for God because His steadfast love is better than life. Amen? That in spite of all the challenges in life, we will be able to praise God, to bless God, and lift our hands in worship because of His loving kindness. So, our act of worship shouldn't be shaped by our circumstances, but rather by the loving kindness of the Lord. Like David, we should choose God's steadfast love than life itself. As what in Psalm 27:4 says, David wrote, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." So may God be our greatest longing all the days of our life, church. May God be our greatest longing all the days of our life. And second, the divine satisfaction with God. You know, when the believer's faith is rested upon the divine attributes of God, it will cause that person to seek more of Him. Amen? It will cause that person to seek more of Him. And when this happens, that person will be satisfied because that person's life will be consumed with God's presence. And so David wasn't just longing for God, but he was also longing to be fully satisfied by Him. As what in verses 5 to 7 says, "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Imagine a king lies down at night in the wilderness, critical and dangerous place, yet his mind is at peace. Serenity was in his heart. And during the night, instead of having troubled heart, he contemplates about food for his soul. He remembered the sacrifices offered in the sanctuary. As what he says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And other commentators said that he is contemplating about a banquet in his palace. And I conversed with my wife, unsa kang una-una aning commentator, no? Maybe this commentator says ba nga, nag-imagine gro sa kay David, kay naa sa wilderness, gutom na kayo si David, nag-una-una gro sa noon, naglakaw yung asawa ba? Maragbaka na. No, that's not what it means there. Because most of the commentator that wrote here, that is referred to the sacrifices in the sanctuary. And that the idea of the word fat refer to the aroma of burning animal fat on the altar. Okay? It's about the burning animal fat on the altar. Honestly, when I was reading this verse, I got really hungry because I was thinking about the A5 Wagyu beef. I was thinking about the A5 Wagyu beef. That really came into my mind. The thought of that extra muscular and marbling fine meat made me salivated nga, while reading on the text. Unsa ka, no? That A5 Wagyu beef. I haven't eaten that meat yet, but people from YouTube said that it melts in your mouth. Maybe David was imagining too while in the wilderness because he could smell that sweet smelling aroma of the burning fat from his thoughts while he was thinking. No? Kinsay gigutom na karon. He was thinking about that while he was meditating the night. He was thinking about the sweet smelling aroma of the burning fat from his thoughts. And by the way, the Mosaic law prohibited the people from eating fat offered on the altar because all the fats belong to the Lord. Don't get me wrong what I mean with the fats here, okay? Because all the fats belong to the Lord. And this symbolizes that God is satisfied with the fats that has been offered, which David refers to. It is also for the satisfaction of his soul. Yes, David was physically hungry, but his soul was more starving for the satisfaction that only God can give. And that he remembered how it is to be satisfied by rich food and longs for the satisfaction to happen deep within his soul. And here, David teaches us again to what really matters most. Of course, his body needed food, but his soul knows that he needed much more than physical food. He knows that his soul is starving, and he knows that no one else or nothing else will ever satisfy him, but only God alone. Amen? No one can satisfy him, but God alone. Satisfaction. Every human being seeks for satisfaction. People spend their lifetime trying to reach for the satisfaction that they want to experience. They try to find it from people, things, places, and achievements, but always find themselves empty and lost. And we are all guilty of this in some points of our lives. But may we never forget that only God can satisfy that very depths of our souls, because it is only when our souls are satisfied in Him we can joyfully praise and worship God. Amen? As David continued and said, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. As the famous quote of John Piper, it goes, He is more glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. He is more glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And verse 6 says, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. So as David lies down at night in the wilderness, he's meditating and he's trying to sort out the day's events. He's grateful to the Lord for getting his family and some people out of Jerusalem before his son Absalom do any harm to them. And by the way, the word meditate is the same word used in Psalm chapter 1 verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And this word meditate referred to David as he gleaned from observing the sheep. Do you know that sheep have four stomachs? And that when the sheep eat the grass and foliage, then the foliage would directly go down into one stomach. And later, when the sheep is resting in the shade, that foliage would regurgitate or chew it again while he was resting. Then send to another stomach. So just like the sheep who was chewing its food repeatedly and slowly, as David was also passionately meditating on God. He was like savoring his memories and experiences with God. So if you are in David's shoes, how can you lie down at night with such many problems? Maybe we won't be able to sleep because our hearts are troubled with problems and dangers that surrounds us. And think about our brethren in Ukraine and Russia. And those people were affected by this war. How could those people sleep or even sit and rest? I don't think so. There's peace right now in their heart. I don't know if they could sleep at this time. But for David, he was able to experience serenity in the wilderness because verse 7 to 8 says, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. It takes great conviction for someone who is in the wilderness to say this. Because with great confidence in the Lord, David rejoices, in the shadow of God's wings, I will sing for joy. And some commentators suggest that God's wings here is a reference to the cherubim above the mercy seat in the sanctuary. And Moses used a similar word in Psalm 91 verse 4. He referred to the Almighty God, shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. And perhaps that very night, David saw a partridge gathering her young under her wings. And that when she felt threatened by David's men or by the heat of sunlight, her young seek refuge under their mother's wings. And Jesus did mention this picture as well. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, the stone and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And so, despite his critical condition, David is still hopeful in the Lord because it is the Lord who holds his life. And some of us question God about our life events right now. Why did the Lord allow these things to happen? Does God really care about us? Does God really care about you or me? Well, the truth of the matter is that God has a purpose in everything. As what Pastor TJ said earlier, that God has a purpose in everything, whatever happens in our world. As what in Romans 8:28-29 says, and we know that for those who love God, okay, those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Therefore, church, we should have peace knowing that God is in control and he has a purpose for everything. And that the only thing we need to put in our mind is that God's purpose for us is to be conformed to the image of His Son in His Christ-likeness character. And to have more of Christ and to be more like Christ are the goal of our life. And that's where our satisfaction begins. When we are more focused on Christ. When we have this intimate relationship with Christ. And lastly, dependence upon God. As what verse 8 to 11 says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." By the way, the idea of the word clings is to show dependence to someone. And this dependence exists in a very close relationship like father and son, husband and wife relationship. So after David's sweet communion with God, from the past verses he said, "My soul clings to you." This is actually a declaration of his dependence in the Lord that led him to experience unfathomable peace. And he was peacefully confident, not because of his men who can protect him, but because of the hands of God that are upon him. And that with God's presence and protection, he was rescued from sinking in the wilderness of his life. And so, when you are tired of the wilderness in your life, maybe in your business, workplace, in your home, relationship, financial status, or marital status, and even spiritual, you need to eagerly cling to God. And let's not sink in the wilderness of life, but instead, cling to God and pray that you may be molded more to be like Christ while you are in the wilderness. Because many Christians nowadays who have problems strive so hard in order to get a solution because their situation already unbearable. Their intention is just to get out of the wilderness. But God's intention is way better than ours. And let's remember Romans 8, 28 to 29 says that He has a purpose for everything. And that purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So when the season of drought seems prolonged in your life, cling to God and His truth that He is accomplishing something within you that will bring glory to Him. I will give you joy. The troubles in your life may not change for a time, yet be confident that He is changing your heart. We cannot change the circumstances, but God is changing your heart. So trust in Him and put your full dependence in Him. And David continued, says, "Your right hand upholds me." This expression is equivalent to saying that God upheld him with all his strength. It is the Lord who sustained him in life, defended him in danger, and kept him from the power of his enemies. And the right hand of God symbolizes God's power and protection. And the news about the war against Russia and Ukraine is very scary. But this war might lead to World War III. Or we don't really know what will happen in the next few days. So let's continue to pray that God's right hand to uphold the people of Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, even Philippines. Knowing that election is upcoming. And so, here in verse 9 to 11, David says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth, and they shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice, and all who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." And here, David elaborated how God will protect him from his enemies. That he prophesied about his victory against them. And this prophecy, by the way, was fulfilled, and the war ended with the slaughter of 20,000 Israelites in the woods of Ephraim, and the death of Absalom at the hands of Joab, as what in 2 Samuel chapter 18 verses 1 to 18 and verse 28 says. Indeed, they were given to the power of the sword. And what's more is that they shall be a portion for jackals. Imagine, they shall be a portion of jackals. By the way, jackals are known as scavengers because their food is the animals' dead bodies. They are like vacuum cleaners of the desert. While in the wilderness, David might have seen jackals devour the dead animals' carcasses. They might have cleaned all the mess, bones, and everything. And that when the jackals pass through an area, there's only one thing that is left. Their waste. That's the only thing that left. Their waste. Good thing, Absalom's remains were placed in a pit in the forest, of Ephraim, and that are covered with big stones in order to keep away from the jackals. But this also symbolizes that the death of a rebellious son who should have been stoned to death. And so in verse 11, David concludes that, but the king shall rejoice. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. David's victory, however, was a bittersweet. The war ends, but his son Absalom died. On a very personal level, he mourned over the death of his son. Yet, he rejoiced because the war finally ended. So instead of anticipating defeat from the enemies, David confidently rejoiced because he knew that God is with him. And everyone who sides with God, as David did, can do the same. Because glorifying God is equivalent to rejoicing. So let's trust God's hand to be upon us for protection from any harm that destroys our life. But remember that challenges is only to mold our character, not to destroy us. Therefore, meditating upon God and His works can give us peace, hope, and confidence that satisfy our hearts. With such satisfaction from God overflows worship, praise, honor, and surrender to glorify God with our life. And that the peace and satisfaction for the soul are found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Word of God. It is only when we are contented and satisfied that we can genuinely come together corporately to truly worship and sing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. So our main focus must be on Him, not on our problem, not on our circumstances, but on Jesus. Our satisfaction and joy should be based on Christ's unfailing loving kindness and mercy towards us, and not on the circumstances of life. The Lord Jesus is always faithful to us. And that's why we can trust Him to get us through our difficult circumstances. And thus, with the presence of our God, it is indeed possible to live joyfully and triumphantly in the midst of unpleasant circumstances. Amen? So let me leave you with this verse that will give you your troubles hope and purpose. As what in James 1 verses 2 to 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let its steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Indeed, Lord, all the glory and honor belongs to you. Such a beautiful thing, O Lord God, to think about what we have. This is that the God whom we could trust and depend on, despite of all the circumstances that we encountered, Lord, either good or bad, we have you. And we thank you, Lord, because you never leave us nor forsake us. Even, Lord, to the point of our life that we sin against you, because instead of trusting you more, We rather doubt about your plans for our lives. And we sinfully make the plans that lead us to rock bottom of our life. That's easily give up and discouraged by such many bad situations in life. And so, Lord, we confess before you that we sinned. And we need you, Lord God. And so, Lord, please forgive us, O God. And let your presence be upon us, Lord. That beautiful, sweet presence with you. The moment we first encounter you, O God, as our Lord and Savior, we miss the time of having an eagerness to know, to enjoy, and to make time for you alone. Because we experience your loving kindness, such great love that is displayed on the cross, that made us humble ourselves and surrender everything. After all, O Lord, Jesus is enough for us. Yes, Lord, even though knowing Jesus is with us, we admit that the reality that our hearts are troubled because we neglect your sweet presence. We are too busy with our personal agenda in life without including you. We are so selfish to think more about ourselves than being selfless to think of others and to think more of you. And so, Lord, my prayer for my fellow brethren today, oh God, for those who are struggling financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, Lord, that they will find hope and comfort in you alone. Because you are the one that we need, O God. You are the answer to all the problems that we face today. For the coming days, because you alone provide solution to all our struggles. Because you are our solution. And our prayer, Lord God, that may your peace be upon us as we have this eagerness to know and have intimate relationship with you all the days of our life. And grant us, Lord God, serenity in the wilderness in life, Lord, that we will have hope and confidence in you alone because you are the majestic, all-powerful, glorious God. And let it be, O Lord, that there will be a deep longing in you alone and to find satisfaction in your very sweet presence, O Lord, and to trust in your plans for our lives, knowing it is for our benefits and for your glory, Lord. And all this we ask, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.